They say this is the most wonderful time of the year. Why? Because God sent His only begotten Son into the world. He came as a babe in a manger, but ended His life dying on the cross so that your sins and my sins can be forgiven. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I invite you to repent of your sins and cry out to God for salvation if you do, Jesus Christ.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
This time of year, we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. And we do so realizing that He didn't just come to be a babe in a manger. He came to die on the cross for our sins. And last week we started a sermon series entitled Why Jesus Came to Earth, and we're going to continue this week. So we actually talked last week, and we actually talked about original sin and went back all the way to the Garden of Eden when the serpent tempted Eve, and Eve sinned, and then Eve presented the fruit that God said, you shall not eat that fruit. Eve presented that to Adam, and Adam also sinned. And what happened there is you actually had, for the very first time, you had sin entering the world. And even though they did not die, Adam and Eve did not die physically right then, they did die spiritually, and death entered the world right then. And God actually shed the blood of animals to create a covering for Adam and Eve so that they would be clothed, because they knew that they were naked at that point. So that is original sin. And the Bible actually tells us that that sin is passed on to every human being that has been conceived afterward. And Romans chapter 5, we'll read that more in depth in a future sermon. But in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, we see through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin. And thus death spread to all men because all sinned. And then David, when he was repenting of his sin, of not only committing adultery with Bathsheba, but also having her husband Uriah killed in battle, setting it up to make it look like it was just something that happened in the battle, and that it was justified at that point. He said when God had shown him the depth of his sin, that he had violated His commandments, and he came to realize that in his prayer of repentance that we see in Psalm 51, he said, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." Now, he wasn't saying that his mother was committing adultery or fornication, or that his mother was a harlot or something like that. What he was saying is that he was a sinner from conception, all the way going back to the beginning, before he had done any good, before he had done evil, he was a sinner. And that is the case with each and every one of us. Every one of us has sinned, as we'll read from Romans, that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's none of us that can say, hey, you know what? I'm good enough to get to heaven. I can get there by myself. One of the things when our kids were young, when our daughter was young, she used to say, and she would want to do things by herself, she would say, I can do it by all myself. And there are a lot of people that are trying to earn their salvation by all themselves. They're trying to make it by themselves, by their own merit, by their own goodness. And we're going to see, we also will have a break in this sermon series, but we'll actually pick this sermon series up later And as we get closer to the resurrection of Christ, we'll actually pick this sermon series up and we'll talk about more about why Jesus came to this earth. But we also looked at last week, Romans chapter 1, that the gospel is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. And for this reason, the Apostle Paul said that he wasn't ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he goes on, and we're going to review just a little bit of what he talked about last week. He talked about the wrath of God being revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness and ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. So, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So when we go out and you look at a car, if you own a car, you go out and look at it. Even if you don't own a car, look at another car, someone else's car. Look at that. I mean, what do you think? Do you think, well, you know, there was just a whole bunch of parts somewhere, and there was an explosion in a factory and all those parts came together to form this automobile? I mean, that would be absurd. And even the absurdity of that proposition would require for the parts to have existed in the beginning. And yet evolutionists tell us that all the intricacies of the world, the intricacies of your body, the intricacies really of every single organism that's out there, and all of this world, the vast array of terrains, the vast array of colors in everything that we see points to the fact that there is a maker. It is preposterous to believe that all of this just happened when there was an explosion. There was nothing, first of all, and then there was an explosion, and then all matter came into being, and then somehow it came together. There was a spark of life, and you actually had simple organisms, and those organisms evolved over time and became more and more complex. By the way, that's not how evolution works. When evolution happens, and we do see examples of evolution, when evolution happens, we actually have something that results that's actually worse than the beginning, than what it was to begin with. You don't have mutations that make something better. That requires a God. That requires a designer. It requires someone who is saying, hey, you know what? There's something that's not quite working right here. We need to correct it. And yet the evolutionists would tell us that these mutations were all good. By the way, I mentioned that we do see evolution in the world. And one of the examples of evolution that we have seen is the response of human beings, certain human beings, to the malaria virus. And malaria has a very short lifespan. And so it's really a good virus to actually study because it can change. And humans have actually changed and adapted. In areas that were heavily affected by malaria, where many, many people died, well, over time, there was a response, a biological, evolutionary response to malaria. And certain individuals were not susceptible to malaria. And that is a good thing. But there also were some downsides. They did have sickle cell anemia, which actually, and for many of them, had a more devastating effect than malaria would have. So evolutionary responses really don't produce a more complex and a more perfect organism. really what we have observed in science is that they actually produce a less orderly or a organism that actually has more problems than the organism had to begin with. And so God has actually created the heavens and the earth. He created you. He created me. And in doing so, he has shown us that there is a God. And as a God, since we can look and see creation, and we can see that there someone obviously had to do this, then we can deduce that there is a God. And if there is a God, then we are subject to his commandments and precepts. By the way, that's what Darwin was trying to escape. And that's what many today are trying to escape, trying to come up with these ideas of how the world came into being. You know, evolution, if evolution were real, it could really only produce one change at a time. Yet the most simple organism in your human body actually has eight different functions, all of which had to exist simultaneously for that simplest of cells in your body to be able to actually function. And we know that there is a God. I believe that there is a God. Certainly it takes faith. It takes faith to believe that there is a God, but it takes more faith to believe that there is not a God. And I encourage you to have faith in God. Look at the body. Look at creation. Look at all of the intricacies. And we are really learning more and more about the intricacies of God's creation. Yet the amount of knowledge that we have about creation is minute compared to what actually is out there. So we see that we are without excuse because God's invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So they knew God, they knew that there was a God, but they actually denied God and actually tried to make it look like there wasn't a God and became foolish in their futile thoughts. Professing to be wise, in verse 22 of chapter 1 of Romans, professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, the birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. So, you know, there are people that do this today that actually worship creatures rather than God. Some people worship the animals. Some people worship the earth. Some people worship men. Some people worship women. Some people worship money. Those are all substitutes for worshiping God. God wants us to worship him because he is the God. He is our King. He is our Lord. He is our Creator. We need to look at him and actually worship him and serve him for who he is. So they exchanged the truth of God and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. So you see that because of their sin, God gave them up to further sin. God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another. Men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. So you see God giving them up to further sin, and that sin takes the shape of homosexuality. It takes the shape of women exchanging their natural use. What is their natural use? God has created women to be bearers of children and to raise children, to be nurturers of children. And even many today, and even as the Apostle Paul wrote Romans 1, many women who are heterosexual, even today, even though they are heterosexual, they still are spurning childbearing, or they're delaying childbearing so that they can have a career. And some of them are waiting until it's too late. Some of them are killing their offspring. They're paying an abortionist to rip their baby limb from limb instead of bearing that child and caring for that child that God has given them. And then you see men lying with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty that was due them. And so we really are seeing this in our own society today, and we have been for some time. And really, you even have today some people saying, well, I was born as a girl, but I really am a boy, or I was born as a boy, but I'm really a girl. And you have seen this in elementary schools. You've seen it in middle school. You've seen it in high schools. You've seen it in college. There's huge controversy over biological women competing with biological men, and the men are stronger and more powerful and quite often faster, and they many times they're not powerful enough and not fast enough and not talented enough to beat other men, but they are powerful enough and dominant to actually dominate over the women when they're competing with women. So you see God giving them up to vile passions. In verse 28, and even though they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things that are not fitting. So you see, God, because of their rebellion against God, God is actually giving them over to further wickedness and to further sin. In verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-minded. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. And so you see this list of sins that God is giving them over to because they rejected God, because they knew God deep in their heart. They knew that there's a God they can see. I mean, you really have to believe some real fabricated things to believe that all of this intricacies happened by chance. Yet, even though they know that deep down that there is a God, they're denying God, and God gives them over to vileness and to sin. And we've read about that, the homosexuality, but also you see all unrighteousness, sexual immorality. And this is not just homosexuality. You also, the Bible does condemn adultery as well. The Bible condemns bestiality. The Bible condemns incest. Those were all death penalty offenses in the Old Testament law. And you see here sexual immorality. Fornication also is prohibited by God, although fornication, the penalty for fornication was for marriage, unless the father of the girl who had been violated did not approve of the man. The man that had fornicated still had to pay the bride's price, which was really a sum of money that would be for actually raising up and protecting this woman and allowing her to be provided for in her latter life, without in case he actually passed away. So it's kind of like paying a life insurance policy and making sure that this woman was taken care of. So you see sexual immorality, you see wickedness, covetousness. So how many people today are looking at what other people have and actually wanting what they have? I remember growing up and seeing someone driving a sports car, and I told I was driving with my dad, and I told my dad, I asked my dad, wouldn't you like to have that sports car? And he said, no, that's that man's sports car. That's his. I'm not supposed to covet what is his. And I really wasn't trying to encourage him to covet. I was just really saying, you know, it would be nice to have that car. But he showed me and taught me a lesson that it's wrong to covet. And there's an entire political party that actually preaches covetousness and actually encourages people, poor people, to covet what the rich have, rather than developing an environment where the poor can actually work and be productive and be rewarded for their industry and for their productivity, and can actually move up and can actually own some things that they weren't able to own in the past. You also see maliciousness. So maliciousness, we are not to operate with malice. Full of envy. Again, looking at what other people have, looking at the blessings of other people. I mean, you see this quite often today where someone is promoted. It's real easy. It's much easier to mourn with those who mourn. The Bible tells us to mourn with those who mourn, but it also tells us to rejoice with those who rejoice. We have a tendency to envy those who actually have achieved something, to want to be in their place and to really sometimes even be jealous of them for what they have actually achieved. Murder. We see murder rampant in our country today. Not only the preborn children that are being ripped limb from limb or killed by a suction tube or are having their skulls crushed. Not only the preborn children that are being killed by chemical abortion today, but we also see we also see murder happening. Even just recently, we saw a CEO of a pharmaceutical company murdered in broad daylight. And you see some people, some college professors, some newscasters actually praising the murder. Why? Because he was a pharmaceutical executive, and he actually, or an executive of an insurance company, and he had actually been the head of a company that actually had denied claims. And so there was this justification of actually killing this man. This is wrong. It's murder. Murder is a violation of God's commandments. You see strife. So when you see someone and people that actually are fighting and bickering, that is actually a sin. Deceit. And deceit is a little bit different than lying. Sometimes you can be truthful and not tell lies, but actually deceive someone. So you see deceit is listed here. Evil-mindedness, actually having the mind that actually creates evil and actually thinks of ways to perform evil. So they are whisperers, or in other words, they gossip. Backbiters, someone that may talk and praise you to your face, but when they're behind your back, they actually say a lot of bad things about you. And haters of God. You know, I remember being in a college class And at the end of the semester, I had missed one class where there was a lab that I needed to make up. I came by myself to the professor. He allowed me to make up that lab. And as I was leaving, I told him, "God bless you." And he laughed at me. And there are people that laugh and mock at God. And there are even people that hate God. And you see here, violent, proud, those who are prideful. God tells us not to be prideful. Boasters, those who go about boasting about what they've accomplished. Sometimes people even boast about things they haven't accomplished, but they say that they have accomplished these things. Inventors of evil things. So really even taking the time to invent new ways of committing evil. Disobedient to parents. One of the things you see today is an utter disrespect of parental authority. And one of the things that leads to is it leads to a disrespect of teachers. It leads to a disrespect of police officers. It leads to a disrespect of judges. It leads to a disrespect of all authority, even someone that's your boss. And so you see here, disobedient to parents, undeserving, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgments of God and that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do those things, but also approve of those who do them. And this is why Jesus had to come to the earth. He came here to die on the cross so that you could repent of your sins, so that you could be set free, so that you could trust in him and be saved. And I encourage you to do that today. Lord, hasten the day when the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. When the earth rejoices for the Lord and the multitudes of the islands are glad. When the Lord has established justice in the earth and the coastlands wait for his law. When the fullness of the Gentiles comes and God calls his people Israel back into his kingdom. Father, we pray this, that you would hasten this day. In the name of Jesus, Lord, amen.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
They say this is the most wonderful time of the year. Why? Because God sent his only begotten Son into the world. He came as a babe in a manger, but ended his life dying on the cross so that your sins and my sins can be forgiven. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I invite you to repent of your sins and cry out to God for salvation through Jesus Christ.
7 million people suffer with Alzheimer's or dementia. Alzheimer Treatment Centers of America, a business partner with WCNO, can treat these conditions. Alzheimer's Treatment Centers of America has opened a clinic in Port St. Lucie and gives hope to those who suffer with these diseases. Using a patented artificial intelligence protocol, 75% of patients in the study had no further decline in their mild cognitive impairment. ATCA's team spent 12 years developing these treatments. They may be reached at 772-298-4477 or at atca.ai.